by Becky
Long
Shea.
Long Talk Radio.
Going up tonight. You're the people.
And has let us run some people for a whole time. From every tribe and language, people, every nation. Where warriors are falling, there's a resurrection coming.
It is your time to rise and shine.
Oh, wake up, you sleeping giant. The home of injustice are being healed by the peace. Oh, Yahweh, bringing us power through unity. Where warriors are falling, there's a resurrection coming.
Heartbeat of our Creator these days. There is something going on in our earth atmosphere every day that is drawing us into unity, drawing us into truth. And so I'm glad to have a collective body of family members and people here every week to invite our ancestors here for one, and to invite the spirit of unity, truth, and love. In that song by Becky Shea, that song is Becky Shea, bringing us together in unity. She says power in unity. There is power in unity. And that's why I promote that every week on Soul Purpose Healing, that we might have power to overcome the psychopathic elites that are trying to destroy not only America, but destroy the human spirit. So welcome, 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 and thank you for joining me. I'm on blogtalkradio.com / Soul Purpose Healing tonight. I'm also on Facebook Live at Soul Purpose Healing. And I have two YouTube channels that I'm broadcasting on just so we get this word out of truth. We got to get the word out of truth. And in Becca Shea's song, she talks about the name Yahshua, which is the Hebrew rendition of Jesus. And to me, after a long journey with Jesus in the Christian church and in the Hebrew community, the spirit of Yahshua is a spirit of truth and unity. And it has a lot to do with the Christ, the anointing of all souls that are walking in truth. So we all Christ. I'm not considering myself a Christian, but we are all walking with an anointing when we're walking in truth. So welcome, welcome, and thank you for joining me this evening to bring forth that spirit of truth, love, and light. So many people are confused these days, and especially about the word soul. So this topic tonight, soul nourishment, getting to the root of our cravings, came to me early in the morning. And as I've spoken to so many people on this journey every day, and I ask it about the soul, do you know about your soul? They don't have a clue. A lot of people are struggling with, hesitate to even understand what is soul. What does that word even mean? So we want to dig into the meaning of soul, first of all, and bring out the relevancy and the purpose of this word soul in our language. The English language, I find, is so limited in what we can understand. And when I say understand, I mean the deeper parts of us, the kingdom within even, helping us to walk in power on this earth. And the English words just sometimes don't add up or are not sufficient enough to explain why we are doing what we're doing and what our purpose is and what our mission is today. We have a very powerful mission in 2023. And part of that is to bring forth the divine purpose in all of us and the divine purpose in the earth, in this atmosphere we live in. So we want to look at the word soul on a different level, on several levels. And one of the things I looked up today in my Strong's Concordance, the word soul in Hebrew, because sometimes in Hebrew I find a deeper meaning or clearer meaning. So when I looked up the word soul in the Hebrew Strong's Concordance, the word is nefesh in Hebrew. Now, you might have other languages that you could share with us or impart about what the languages that you know about. What is the soul? What is the soul definition in other languages? And we want to really help all of us be very clear about what this word defines, what this word denotates. So in Hebrew, let's start with just the word nefesh. In Hebrew, the meaning comes out to breathe. I was kind of surprised just to see that it was first broken down to breathe, nefesh, soul. And soul is written throughout the Old Testament mainly as nefesh. No discrepancies there at all. Nefesh is the Hebrew word used when you see soul in the Bible. So nefesh, here's just some of the definitions in the concordance. The word nefesh, to breathe, to be breathed upon, to be refreshed, breathing creatures, vitality, body, mind. Appetite is even described in the word nefesh. Appetite, desire, heart, even the word lust, pleasure, or self can be used in the word nefesh to describe its meaning. So tonight we want to really develop all this. The breath, breathed upon, refreshed, being a breathing creature, body, mind, is vitality. When we talk about soul nourishment, we're talking about having vitality. And body, mind are connected. And then appetite and desire and heart, lust, pleasure, self. All of that is included in the word nefesh in Hebrew. And so tonight, let's look at together, and you are more than invited or welcome to press one and give us your understanding, inner standing. I like the word inner standing because all of us are so, we are vessels of the kingdom of the Creator. The kingdom is within us in the way of cells and organs and tissues and bones and spines and brain and pineal gland. So this expansive nature of who we are is so beautiful. And we want to bring out the soul nourishment to get to the root of some of the cravings that we all struggle with. And develop nourishment for all these parts of us, the vitality, the brain, the body, desires, heart, nourishment tonight. So, of course, as usual, I downloaded some audios from YouTube of other people, of other experts, if you will. Gary Zukav is one of the ones I want to play first. Gary Zukav wrote a book called The Seed of the Soul. And when my eldest son read this book, he came into a very full understanding of reincarnation. And before reading this book, he was kind of on the neutral side or, like most Christians, kind of against it or unbelieving. Let's just say unbelieving about reincarnation, about our beings having more than one life in this journey on earth. So my son read this book, and I was like, wow, I had read the book, but I didn't have any idea he was even interested. So that really helped me see that even your children or the beings that come through your womb can come to a mature, overstanding, understanding of who they really are and why they're here and what the journey is. So it's beautiful, beautiful to see our children develop mature attitudes about, quote, the soul. But what exactly is the soul? That's what we want to talk about tonight. Because as I said, so many people that I talk to, they struggle with or hesitate to understand, what's the soul? So let's start with Gary Zukav, a man who wrote a book, The Seed of the Soul, who has, and Oprah, this was an interview that Oprah Winfrey did years ago on the Super Soul Sunday. I used to watch that religiously every Sunday because she took her audience into a spiritual journey. And Gary Zukav was probably on that show so many times. And this is just a quick interview for Gary Zukav giving a definition of the soul. Now, everyone might not agree with him, but I just want to start with Gary because millions of people woke up with that book, The Seed of the Soul. If you read that book, feel free to share with us what your impression of that book was. But so many people woke up and got a better understanding of what that word means. So this is a brief, this is about a little over three minutes, actually, conversation or talk with Gary Zukav on the Oprah show, Winfrey show, about the definition.
What is the soul?
The soul is what you are. The soul is not a mythical entity. The soul is a powerful, purposeful essence. It is at the very center of who you are. But do not think that you are the entirety of your soul. A soul is enormous. Your soul existed before you were born, and your soul will exist after you die. You, the Oprah that I am speaking to, I, the Gary that is speaking to you, are personalities. I have a certain psychological structure. I have lessons to learn in my life. I have emotions. I have intuition and cognition. Mm-hmm. I have all of those things. But all of those things will die. But my soul will not, and neither will yours.
Does my soul know me?
Yes. Yes. Look at it this way. Every fleet of ships that sails has a mothership. One ship that knows where all of them are going and sets the direction for all of those ships to sail.
Mm-hmm.
This doesn't mean that the mothership determines what happens on each of the other ships in the fleet. Life on one of the ships might be mostly pleasant. On yet another ship, it might be mostly unpleasant. Now imagine the mothership is the biggest ship you can imagine. It's a city afloat, magnificent. And now imagine that the rest of the boats, the ships, are not really ships, but little boats.
Mm-hmm.
The mothership is your soul, and you are one of the little boats. The mothership knows why...
That's a very nice analogy, really.
The mothership knows why you are in the water. You may not know all of the time. The mothership knows why you encounter storms. Your job, while you have the awesome privilege of being a little boat, is to learn how to sail in the same direction as your mothership. Because you can choose and create anything you want. You can sail in the opposite direction if you want. That is a sure way to find rough water. But as you sail in the direction that your mothership wants to sail, your life fills with meaning and purpose and love. You are excited about being alive. You are excited about the people you are with and what you are doing.
Because you're following the mothership.
That's right. Meaning is your inner compass that always aligns itself with the direction that your mothership wants to go.
Okay, meaning.
Meaning, your inner sense of meaning and purpose.
Is, say that again.
Meaning is your inner compass.
Mm-hmm. Got it, got that much.
And as you follow your inner sense of meaning, you are sailing in the same direction that your mothership wants you to sail.
Hi, YouTubers. I'm excited to give you an update about our own YouTube channel.
So some of that might not register with you, but what I like about his definition is he brings in the mothership, which to me speaks of relationship. It just right away, when I didn't really get all that he was talking about in terms of describing the soul, but the being an inner compass and you being the little ship and the mothership. But what registers with me is the relationship that we're all on, or we're all experiencing. So that's what we're getting into tonight. As we develop soul nourishment, what does that mean? Why do we need it? Are we getting it? And what's at the root of all these cravings that we have, whether it's a craving for food or sex or drugs or money? Oh, I think about all the distractions that we have right now in this 2023 to make money and to have healthy relationships. So I love the idea that Gary brings out the ship. And this vessel that we're in is like a ship, right? And if you're just joining me, I defined the word nefesh. The word nefesh is Hebrew for soul. And the definition is so vast and wide. For nefesh, I think it encompasses what Gary is trying to describe to Oprah, the nefesh being vitality, the body, the mind, the appetite, the desire, the heart, the lust, the pleasure, the self, and even more of the soul to breathe and be breathed upon, refreshed, breathing creatures, and even bringing in childhood experience, because guess what? Our ship, our relationship started with that mothership bringing us into the womb of our mother. How about that? Mothership, Oh, wow. I'm getting such a heavy download right now about that ship, the mothership, the relationship. We start off on this soul journey of breathing and being refreshed and finding vitality on this earth journey. And we are nourished for 9 months or not. Think about all the mothers who are disconnected from the 9-month journey, and they don't give that infant the nourish, the love that they need. The love that they need is part of the nourishment of the soul, right? I mean, you're coming in, you're coming out from the star seed into a womb that you chose, more than likely, and then the mother doesn't know how to love you. She doesn't know the significance of this soul journey that starts in her womb. Because why? Because she's been confused by the relationships in her life, whether it's an uncaring husband, uncaring fathers, mothers, sisters, brothers. This gets really interesting when you meditate on the ship part. We're going to really go into the ship part for a moment. And I have a caller who's first one, so I'll open up your mic in just a second. But think about, in terms of nourishment of the soul, how that can start with a healthy pregnancy in the mothership, who is carrying this seed of light, this star seed, for 9 months, and bringing the development of the body, and the body that will be breathed upon once it comes out, and the body that's being breathed upon through the umbilical cord and through all these beautiful cells in the mother connecting to the mothership. Thank you, Gary, for that vision. The mothership that is the guide for 9 months, right? 9 months guide, mothership, and you're just the little ship being developed, being the sails and the arms and all those being put together, and then you're born into the mothership of Earth, and wow, that's when your journey really starts to be nourished. If you weren't nourished for 9 months, just think about what lack of nourishment you're going to get in outside that womb. This is where we start getting into the root of our cravings, because if the mothership did not give you healthy nourishment, love, talking to you in the womb, rubbing that stomach, sending good vibrations, sending good music to you in that 9-month period, guess what? You're lacking nourishment. Starving when you come out of that womb. Getting to the root of our cravings is part of it is understanding what type of nourishment did you get in those 9 months from your mothership. So think about that, and we're going to take a call before we go to the break. And then I have a total of 4 audios I want to share with you. Gary was the first on getting us into a definition of soul, and for right now it's about a ship, mothership, little ship, sail ship, boat, real boat, whatever. In fact, it brings me to mind of the song, "Row, row, row your boat gently down the stream. Merrily, 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 life is but a dream." Those words were given to Brother Sirius on this webinar I was in a couple of weekends ago by someone who was giving him wisdom about his journey on earth. And he's saying, he gave him the words, "Row, row, row your boat gently down the stream. Merrily, 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 merrily." Like, how about we say, "Row, row, row your ship gently down the stream. Merrily, 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 life is but a dream. Dreaming is nefesh part." So let me think about that for a moment. And I'm going to take a call before we go to the break. And then when we come back, I have another definition of soul by a really good TED Talk. I think it was a TED Talk, a testimony. I had so many, but I broke it. I limited it to 4 audios this evening that help us develop soul nourishment and getting to the root of cravings, which starts in the big mothership. So let me open up the mic of, I believe this is Mama AZ. We're going to talk to Mama AZ before we go to the break. Mama AZ, your mic is open.
Greetings. Dr. V, can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am. You're all the way from Arizona, the place of the Super Bowl this year, I believe.
I don't know anything about that. However, yeah. I'm here in stolen land in Cochise County, Arizona, at Fort Huachuca, UFOs,
okay.
And Miracle Valley and all of that. But let me get to this point without crying. It takes me back. You never cease to amaze me, Dr. V. It takes me back to, I stayed 3 weeks in the hospital on the cold floor with my mom, and I had to go home and get in my tub at the time. And then I laid down on the couch, and I fell asleep at the foot of the mountain at that time, and I had a dream of three ships, and one was the mothership, my mom, Maddie Paris. And she said to me, she said, Putnam, listen to me. You cannot go on this journey with me, baby. You have your own soul. This is what my mother told me. You have your own soul that's not developed yet. And I have to leave you. And you have to travel in your ship to develop your soul into what you came to the planet to be and do. You have a master assignment. Dr. V, I can't believe you're doing this show. But anyway, I Gary Zukav first came out. I was in a meditation group in North Carolina in High Point. And that was one of the books that we had to read. And I tell you, this is so deep. This is so deep. When that dream was complete and I said to my mom, I said, okay, mom. I called my husband in Philadelphia. He told me I was crazy, that my mother wasn't going to die, and that dream was crazy. When I pushed the button down, the phone rang, and it was my mother's doctor. I swear to God, the Rosenberg, I never will forget this. I said, Dr. Rosenberg, my mom just made her transition, didn't she? And he said, how did you know? I said, because I had a dream. And Dr. V, let me tell you, we must pay attention to our dreams and everything that we are given. At this particular time, these are the most powerful times, family, to be on this planet, to learn, to develop our souls. And I thank us. It's so much I need to share, but I know we got to go to break. And you call me back later when you can, Dr. V, because I have something else that I need to share. But you need to pay attention, family, because you're going to be getting downloads like fire, like lightning. They're going to be coming faster, faster, and faster. I am serious. Do not let anybody tell you from this moment on that you're crazy. Peace. Thank us, Dr. V. Peace.
Yeah.
Thank us.
That's important. And Naima Latif is our executive producer, and she brings us commercials from the Female Solution Blog Talk studio. So, Naima, when you're ready, just press 1, because I'm on my phone, And it's hard for me to go back to my text to see you're ready for commercials. So, Naima, if you can hear me, just press 1 and I'll know that you're ready for commercials. But, yeah, sister, Mama AZ, you know, the more we, I'm finding is the more we can get to the root of our cravings for man, matrix elements, I'll say, the more I hear clearly from the spirit of the Most High. It's like every time I decide to either fast or get more discipline in my behavior about what I'm eating, what I'm watching, what I'm listening to, watching my mouth, you're absolutely right. Downloads are like, woo, whoa, 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 like warp speed downloads. It's like you can't even keep up with them sometimes. I almost have to keep a pen and paper with me all the time because of the downloads I'm getting lately, like you. And so that's why we're doing a show like this, is because Spirit was giving me a message this morning about nourishment. And I have been hearing the word nourishment versus eating for several weeks now. I think just as we got into 2023, in fact, I was hearing more about why are people eating instead of nourishing their bodies. There's a big difference. So the eating is part of the cravings, and the nourishment is what we're talking about tonight, where we feel that nefesh definition of vitality and mind-body connection, and our desire and our heart and the pleasure is at an inner standing higher place, so that we can hear clearly what we need to do, why we're doing, what's going on around us, and to be protected. Because these are some strange Twilight Zone episodes we're going through. We're going through some more Twilight Zone episodes. And the enemy, the I'll call them the psycho elite, are not giving up. They just had a big meeting about what they're planning for the human race again. And we got to know how to nourish the soul so that we can clearly hear from the Most High, all our messengers, about how to protect ourselves and what the next step is day by day. So I see my executive producer is ready for commercials. I'm going to open up her mic, and we'll be right back with some more nourishment for the soul. Thank you, Naima Latif.
We have an opportunity to transform the whole global society in the next 50 years. 50 years from now, the earth will be populated by a new generation of adults, many of whom are yet unborn. Our mission is to nurture them in childhood with love, guidance, and protection, and to raise them in healthy, happy families. If we impart values of compassion, generosity, and respect for fellow human beings in the next generation of children, they will create a world where people can live together in peace. This is our goal. Be a part of the transformation. Get your copy of the book, The Female Solution. Go to www.naimalatif.com. That's www.naimalatif.com.
Do you want to live in a world without war? Join our global peace movement. Heavenly Culture World Peace Restoration of Light transcends culture, religion, ideology, and other boundaries to achieve a peaceful harmony in the global society. HWPL is committed to bringing world peace and cessation of war through peaceful dialogue between religious groups. I am Director Shin-Suk Kim of the HWPL Chicago Branch of North America. Join us for our next gathering. Call 773-580-1501 and be a part of the movement for world peace. Email us at chicagohwpl@gmail.com.
I'm Viata, your holistic life coach. These days, it's more important than ever to work on your physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual health. Are you consciously breathing deeply in stressful moments? Do you have a plan or daily routine to maintain balance in your awesome body? Are you struggling to be disciplined in your eating habits? When you partner with me, I'll help you develop a personalized health plan that works for your particular lifestyle. You can find out more about me at yourholisticlifecoach.com, where you can also review my 3-step protocol to guide you to abundant health. That's yourholisticlifecoach.com, and I'm Viate. Alrighty, thank you so much for joining me. We're back. And tonight we're going to really explore the nourishment of the soul and all its parts, because the word soul is kind of limited in the English language. But if you have a better definition, understanding, please share it with us. But I want to share one more definition from a woman by the name of Leslie. I don't have her last name, but I thought this was a very interesting perspective on the real meaning of soul from a female perspective. So Gary Zukav, a male perspective and author, gives us this vision of a ship, which I love because it's like relationship and row your boat gently down the stream. Merrily. That's what I think of when I think about his definition. Life is but a dream. Oh, I'm sure all of you can relate to that song. You probably heard it. I know it's very popular. It was, I can't think of the man's name who actually gave that to another person. But we're going to listen to one more definition of soul by a female perspective, and then we'll come back and talk a little bit more about that definition and hear from you. If you want to comment or questions, press 1 if you're in the studio. If you're on Facebook, just write your comment and I will try and read. We already have 3 comments. Let's see. Eva Marie Keys commented and said, my mother did the same. She ascended when I was 3 years old. I told my mother today, let's see, I know now that you had to ascend. All right, Eva, thanks for sharing that. That's pretty powerful. And then Mama AZ, or our sister Zelda in Chicago, our Monday morning mindfulness host, says, Grand Rising, beautiful queen, sister. Thanks, Mama AZ. Ready. Thanks for sharing. All right, so we've got Facebook here. And I'm on YouTube. My YouTube channel is Viata's Tiny House Village, if you want to watch or comment on YouTube. But here is a female perspective on the definition of soul. Because as we say, the word soul, we really should explore it. Why? Because we want to get to the root of the craving so we can have clear ears, open ears to hear what the spirit is saying to each and every one of us that is listening. So here we go with Leslie, the real meaning of soul.
So what do we really talk about when we talk about soul? We use the word so much it seems we'd have a handle on it. We talk of beautiful souls, lost souls, soul food, soul mates. And yet somehow the more we talk, the greater the risk of falling into cliché. There's an easy sentimentality to the idea of someone being soulful, for instance. Or in the way my Irish mother used to forgive a rather tiresome acquaintance by saying, ah, but she's a good soul. There's the pull letters of chicken soup for the soul territory. Soul is a soft concept. Be hard-headed about soul. You might as well try being hard-headed about puppies. Of course, lots of people have tried nonetheless. Descartes, for instance, he of I think, therefore I am, was convinced the soul was a physical entity and that it was embedded in the pineal gland, which is conveniently located right in the center of the brain. And a Massachusetts country doctor once claimed to have actually weighed the soul as it left the body at death. 3/4 of an ounce, he said. But since that didn't exactly roll off the tongue, popular legend went instead with the metric equivalent, 21 grams, which a few years back served as the title of a soul-searching movie. In fact, whole bodies used to be thought of as souls. Or rather, the body was incidental and the soul was all that mattered. There wasn't a soul in sight, someone might say, of an empty, lifeless street. And all souls were lost at sea. A statement that still makes me shiver, along with the emergency call, SOS, save our souls. The long arm of church doctrine reached deep, even going so far as to insist that a life lost could be a soul found. But what if we were to reclaim soul from the lost and found business? If we were to free it of pious modifiers such as blessed and immortal? Because it hasn't always been the exclusive province of religion. Back when the wealthy ate goose for supper, the bird's lungs were called the soul. And to the medieval palate, they were the finest delicacy. And the word is still used for the sound post of a violin, the small peg hidden right underneath the bridge, which transmits the vibration of the strings to the body of the instrument. The soul is what allows the violin to resonate, to reach out into the world. What then if we were to reach out too? If we were to let go of that the, that very definite article, and quit thinking in terms of the soul as though it were a thing, some interior component like a soundpost. If we were to conceive of it instead as a quality of being. Soul, that is, not as a possession, not as a part of you that lives on after death or that can be lost or found or weighed, whether in church or in the lab. In fact, not as a part of you at all, but as a dimension of being, of existence. I think of this as an agnostic approach to soul, an existential one, if you like, an existentialist one, is what I mean to say. A way to open out the idea, to give it room to breathe. But then the question is, how exactly? Approach the sense of soul directly, and like sand, it slips through your fingers. Ask what's meant by saying that someone's got soul, and what comes to mind, or at least what comes to my mind, is that old advertising slogan, got milk? Soul is something you can get, something that's good to have. Of course, you could always call on a whole checklist of attributes such as generosity, genuineness, empathy, compassion, authenticity, but these all sound kind of solemn, almost reverent. Not that they're not vital, they are vital, and yet vitality is exactly what they seem to lack when listed this way. It's as though they're weighed down by earnestness, grounded by gravity, which might be why a sense of humor is absent from that list. So, what about going with a different language altogether? The language of music. Soul music. Because if soul can be said to have a heart, this surely goes right to it. Think Nina Simone, Aretha Franklin. Music that voices deep pain, yet somehow transforms that pain into beauty. By a kind of alchemy, it makes the bitter into the hauntingly bittersweet, even into joy. And yet, couldn't it be said that all great music is really soul music? Music that moves you, that is, sometimes literally, so that I might find myself dancing to a Beethoven symphony or to the ecstatic chanting of Nusrat Fateh Ali Khan. Because music is not only an expression of soul, it's a carrier of it, which is why it is so often banned by fundamentalist regimes. Soul does not sit well with dogma. It'd be tempting to say here that fundamentalists are soulless. make that very tempting. Except, is that really possible? Only if you still think of soul as a thing, a possession. I can see how a soul could conceivably be owned or lost, stolen, even sold as in a Faustian pact. But the quality of soul is not a tradable commodity. So it's not that some people have no soul, but that something in them seems to have shriveled, seems to have turned in on itself as though in retreat. They've hunkered down and built a wall around themselves, sometimes even a physical wall of steel or concrete. Afraid of what's beyond, of the unknown, the other, they close the gates and post guards. They live walled off from the world, even at the extreme, against the world. The thought of being against the world makes me need water. Thank you. And if the gates were to be kept open, could soul be a matter of being brave enough to be vulnerable? To acknowledge the risks of being vulnerable, that is, and willingly accept them nonetheless, because risks they are. And those I think of as brave souls know this. In a way, they're the personification of soul music. However bitter their experience, they're not ruled by fear or by resentment. They reach out into the world instead of being guarded against it. They're open to it. Could we think then in terms of being open-souled and closed-souled? That sounds promising. Open and closed-souled. And yet there's still something missing, isn't there? Some spark, some sense of energy, of life. But since I'm what you might call a stubborn soul, let me try one last time, at least for now. Because, you know, those medieval diners may have been onto something when they called the lungs of the goose the soul. The lungs, the breath of life. And if the connection isn't quite there in English, it could be that English just isn't a very soulful language. I was trying to figure out if I could say that without laughing. I can't. It does exist in many other places. The sister languages of Arabic and Hebrew, for instance, use related words such as nafs and nefesh, which can mean either breath or soul or spirit, or all three at the same time, intertwined, breath and soul and spirit. And there it is. There's what's been missing. Spirit, that sense of vitality. Isn't that what we need when we talk about soul? We need to make it spirited again. Give it guts again. Give it lungs again. Because if we want to live life with soul, and I think pretty sure most of us do, we need to breathe life back into it. Thank you.
Okay, lots of little nuggets there. I hope you caught those, heard those, felt those, digested those. I love the idea of the dimension and the energy that she brought in, and the inner compass and music. Oh my goodness, music is definitely a carrier of soul, she said. Whoa. So when we're nourishing this part of us that never dies, then are we using music? As she mentioned, Nina Simone, Aretha Franklin, though that soul music, are we using music to nourish our souls? I hope you are. And then are we bringing together the breath, the soul, and the spirit, and the wanting to bring back vitality? As she mentioned the word nefesh again in Hebrew, because the English language, it's a little limited in really getting an understanding of what this journey is all about. And especially in terms of what we've been through in the last 3 years, to wake us up from the twilight zone. Remember, row, row, row your boat gently down the stream. Merrily, 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 life is but a dream. So it's almost like this last 3 years was a dream, right? Did it really happen? Did we really just go through corona madness? Did we really do that? Did we say people stay home and get sicker and crazier and die and put on masks? Did we really just go? It seems like a nightmare, really, not a dream. But if we take that casual attitude of row, row, row your boat gently down the stream, it was a dream. Because today, part of soul nourishment is just being in the moment, right? And as you just joined us, I mentioned in the beginning with Gary Zukav brings up the mothership. What about the mothership? Can we identify with? And it's clear for all of us that we start out in the mother's womb or the ship, which really influences us in our soul nourishment, whether that mother is has a healthy mind or she's conscious and aware of the importance of this baby growing in her, inside of her ship. That's the challenge that we're looking at today, to feel the vitality that this woman just talked about that is going to get us through the next chapter or the next episode of The Twilight Zone, which is just a dream, right? So here's a little clip about what exactly is nourishing. How do we nourish the soul? What does it mean to have soul nourishment? Now, one of these is pretty long. Let me see which one. I'll wait for that one. What is soul? Here's the first of two. What is soul nourishment?
Hello, it's Liv here from Live Nourished. I'm so excited to chat with you about soul nourishment. This is something that I talk a lot about in my practice with clients or when I'm educating in group settings. And really what soul nourishment is about is being able to expand the definition of nourishment beyond food. Oftentimes we think of nourishment as only coming from food or from a nutritional lens. And what I have found working with clients over the years is that that is not the case. When we start to take into account that nourishment includes our physical health, our nutritional health, our mental, emotional, and energetic health, our financial health, our relational health, our intellectual health, and our spiritual health, we can start to really tune into what our soul is craving. And so as an example, I like to share that sometimes we can be hard on ourselves when we think of nourishment as just being around food. So for instance, if you are one who has told yourself, I'm not going to eat sugar, and then you start to eat sugar, or you're craving sugar and you so-called give in, you might say to yourself, oh my gosh, I have such weak willpower. Why did I do that? And you start to become, or you start to sit in this shame or blame cycle. When really, when we can look at it from a soul nourishment lens, we can start to ask, what was it in my life that I was craving in that moment? Am I craving some sort of sweetness in my life that feels lacking? What is my soul craving? And when we start to bring in the other aspects of nourishment, we might start to realize that there was a void within ourselves and an emptiness that we were trying to fill with that sugar. And really, it could tie down to, I don't feel like I have any sweetness in my life. Maybe my relationships are lacking, or I don't have supportive people in my life. Maybe I feel lonely. Maybe I don't feel passionate in what I'm spending my time in. Maybe I'm not feeling joy or expansiveness, and sugar is the easiest way to receive that if I'm not aware of what my soul is craving. So if this resonates with you, I encourage you to sit down and grab a journal, and I want you to just take a moment to tune into what is my soul craving. And out of those aspects of nourishment that we talked about, what pieces of soul nourishment do you feel are really aligned and supportive in your life that you are giving yourself? And what aspects of soul nourishment do you feel are lacking and that you really crave and that you need to prioritize in your life? And as you're doing that, I want you to drop into your body and really feel how that sits with you. You know, when you start to think about what you're giving yourself for nourishment, how does that feel versus sitting into what feels like it's lacking? And how are some of the ways that you can shift the rituals, the routines, the relationships within your life to support you in feeling completely full on a soul level? I want you to be able to sit in the embodiment of what this feels like for you. This might not feel like rainbows and butterflies. This might feel more like darkness and shadows, and that is okay. But as we start to recognize what our soul is yearning for, that's what we can start to ask for help with and start to call into our life. So I hope this was helpful. If you have any questions, send me an email.
So that's a perspective of a professional therapist giving us some ideas of how our soul needs nourishment, why it needs nourishment, and what are the things that we can do to nourish it beyond food. That's what we usually look at, the sugar, 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 sugar. And all of us are addicted to sugar. Let's just admit it. And some of us are really working hard to overcome that addiction. I know our Monday morning mindfulness host, Zelda, wrote a book about donuts, diabetic donuts, I think it's called. But we're all struggling with that drug. It's a drug. And to me, that's what the cravings are all about, finding the right drug to nourish the feelings, the lack of vitality in us that started possibly in the womb or beyond. I know some people don't believe in reincarnation. So let's just say in the womb. We all came in here through the womb of our mothership, and some of us didn't get what we needed in that ship, and that's where our cravings really started. So if your mother is still alive, it's a good idea to ask mom, what was that relationship like in the womb with her? Was she abused by dad? Was she abused by her mother? Anybody? That's where the craving started, in the womb, and maybe in the past life, but we won't go there, because the soul nourishment is going to be enhanced this year more than ever. When we give up the cravings of the sugar and all the other drugs that we use. So let me go to the phones. We've got a caller that pressed 1-779-801. Your mic is open. Welcome. Give us your name, where you're calling from, please.
Well, good evening. This is Maika. So glad to be alive.
Good evening. Yay. So nice to hear your voice. How are you doing?
I'm wonderful, thank you. You know, I'm constantly experiencing change, and I grew up learning to love change. Change became something that I've always been comfortable with, whether it's moving from city or relationship changes or whatever, you know. And I don't have an addictive personality. I learned early in life not to have a desire for an outcome. You can have a preference, but not a desire to have an outcome.
Okay.
Any situation, because then that forms what's called an attachment. Now your energy is draining through that attachment because it's not flourishing you. It's taking from you. It's a distraction. So
right.
The way I've learned to nourish my soul is by imbuing principles into my life. I find that principles which are the same in every known religion, as I study all of the different religions, I found that the same principles existed everywhere. And then I wanted to
Right.
What is love? What is truth? What is joy? What is happiness? What is this goodness and mercy that follows you all the days of your life? Why are they following you? Do they have their friends with you? You know, what's going on? Can you develop a relationship with principles? And I found out that you can. You could, they're like, they're living entities for real. And you develop, these are the things that operate at the intelligences level. I didn't say intelligent, what people would think is the mind. I said intelligences. See, they're of intelligences, the ones that keep our heart beating and our blood flowing. These are intelligences, the ones that allowed us to talk without going to school, you know, to walk. These are real existences in our life. So we come into this world and God fills up us up with gifts, skills, talents, and abilities, and the energy to carry out the purpose that we're designed to carry out, in that you have an invitation to earth. This is what you got to do. And it's a contract between you and God. And then these folks come along in churches and schools, and they say, well, you know, we think we can have a better purpose for you than God. And then you get caught up in that rigmarole, and then you find yourself unrecyclable. You don't know what to do with you because you've been so involved in the system that was designed to kidnap you from God, and you ain't gave yourself back to God yet so that you can really be happy, so that you can really be safe without the thought of guns and what have you. And I was thinking about developing a community, and I was saying to myself, well, I want people to have guns in this community. Personally, I don't do guns. I don't do weapons. I've lived in some of the most dangerous places in the world, but I don't do weapons, and I don't feel unsafe wherever I am. That's just me. I don't recommend that for everybody, but that's me. You know, and then I do recommend it for everybody because it's a great feeling to feel safe within your own skin, wherever you are, among whom you are. So these principles is what nourish the soul. And as you as you take on principles, then you're nourishing that aspect of you that is non-physical. There is, the physical is very limited. You know how they say when they look into these deep microscopes, they only see space?
Right.
There's only space. There's not physicality. That's limited. But we've been programmed by a linear race. See, we have to understand what we've been in, where we've been. It's no fault of theirs. It's just what nature created. And we follow the path of nature as a people. There's nobody to blame. There are no victims here. There's only learning. Why did it happen? So I want to just change the subject briefly. But, you know, I'm launching a calendar program, a 2023 February calendar, which is a curriculum. It's actually a year-round curriculum. You can take the month of February, and you can use it for the whole year. You and still have some things left off that you ain't dealt with, you know, because our February is rich in our relationships with each other. You know, our children have been programmed with three characters, basically: Jesus, Martin, and Malcolm. What do they have in common? The most obvious thing they have in common, that they were all killed for being righteous, right?
Yeah.
If I do right, I'm going to get killed. That's the programming out here. So they don't know about all the other people who've done righteous things that they didn't get killed, you know? And as they research these people, then they become alive with, I can be great also. And that's what we have to instill in our children, that they can be great right now, that these people came out of slavery and was able to do the things that they did. So how much less you?
That's right.
And
that's
this
right.
Energy promotes them. And this is stuff that they begin to research. The calendar just gives tidbits of what happened. It doesn't give you, we have, eventually when it turns into an app, it'll give links to further information. But imagine young people, in class or at home, because it's really a home program. It's a home curriculum to bring family together, studying something that's real. It changes the conversation from who shot John. Oh, I didn't know that so-and-so, this happened and this. I didn't even know it happened. I didn't know we had a nuclear scientist was a part of our black people, I didn't know nothing about that. I want to know more about him. I could be a nuclear scientist. I've thought about that before. But look at him. He did it. You know what I mean? It gives them the courage and the a signpost, because our children don't have anything to fall back on. These children don't have memories. I grew up in Sunday school. I love going to Sunday school. It was my initiative. Didn't nobody have to force me to go to Sunday school. So I've been in situations there where I had to call back and remembering about Daniel and the lions did and what happened, and Samson and Goliath, what I'm going to do in relationship to this. I had this to fall back on. I had these scriptures to tell me, the righteous way to do things, and that God is always present, always, and whatever you need, you just ask for it or pray for it.
Well, I've got a question for you.
Anyway, even if you don't ask.
I've got a question for you, Maika. I have a question for you. And by the way, Zelda has put up your website, anewbeing.com, for February. That's where people can go to get the calendar, right?
Right. I'm updating it right now. Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then we have a comment from a sister, Eva Marie Key says, "My sister, you are speaking the truth, capital T-R-U-T-H. As a child, I questioned everything. If you can't prove it, it's a lie. My mother had to ascend.
Right.
My grandma raised my outer, and Mother Earth is raising my within, even as now." That is beautiful. That's the understanding.
Right.
And to say, before I ask, and then we got to go to a break, we're behind, but one of my favorite song or music is George Benson's Everything Must Change. That music speaks so deeply that I play it a lot. It's on my iTunes, and when I come home and I've been out the world, doing things out in the world and all that, I come home and I put that on, and it's like, it's like a soothing balm or something. Everything must change. Nothing stays the same. And then he goes into his guitar, and I just melt. But the question I have for you is, what do you think is the consequence when people don't understand that everything must change and they don't walk in that truth?
Well, there is a saying. Let me see if I can bring it up. If you don't change, you court pain. People have a lot of pain in their lives.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
You court pain. When you resist change. Because you're restricted.
Okay.
You're going into a restrictive mode. Something is blocked there. And that blockage is going to make itself known in one way or another. So that's the relationship.
Wow. And so all of us who are looking at our addictions, Zelda says, still battling that sugar addiction. We all battling it because it's a drug, and it does change the way we feel. And so that's why we're talking about it tonight, getting to the root of these cravings. And I think the number one craving is sugar for a lot of us. We grew up with it. It was considered food, and as we get older, we realize this is a drug. We might as well make lines of sugar like cocaine, because that's the level of energy and chemistry that it is a drug. Let's just snort the stuff and get it over with. So we're learning how to control the cravings as we look into the ship, the mothership relationship. with our mother in the womb. And we got one more. When we come back, I have one more. We got to go to the break. Thank you so much, Maika, for sharing.
Perfect.
And we're going to take a break, and then when we come back, I have one more testimony from a woman about what is so her journey is so interesting. It's a TED Talk that I had thought I should share to show the complexity of this soul journey and the cravings and all the dynamics of the word nefesh that really bring out to me a more comprehensive meaning of the word soul. So Naima Latif, your mic is open. Thank you for bringing us the commercials for this half hour.
Is Monday morning a struggle to get out of bed, into the swing of things? Well, don't worry, you are not alone. Join us for thought-provoking, stimulating, and mindful conversations on Higher Learning with Zelda Speaks for your Monday morning mindfulness session on Blog Talk Radio, The Female Solution, Mondays, 7:30 until 9 a.m. Be sure and send your ideas, thoughts, comments, and suggestions. Also, if you'd like to be a guest on the show, visit ZeldaSpeaks.com and send us your info. We'd love to have you. Experience mindfulness moments with the mindfulness/stress relief coach, Zelda Speaks. And thanks for sharing the mindfulness moment tip of the day. Stay on purpose, stay empowered, and stay tuned to your next session of Mindfulness on Higher Learning with Zelda Speaks. Make it a mindful day. And thanks for listening.
What if you could live to be 120 years old and remain active, healthy, alert, and vibrant? Our bodies are made up of cells that are constantly rejuvenating. So if we take proper care of our cells, we can literally defy aging. Join us every Tuesday from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Standard Time to learn about cell care from Susan Essentials on the Female Solution Blog Talk Radio Show. Learn how to help your body and your cells feel rejuvenated each day through proper nutrition, sleep, frequency medicine, and many unconventional methods of self-care. I'm Jody Susan. Join me and my amazing guests by calling in at 515-605-9325 and press 1 to speak. We'll help you achieve a breakthrough in your health today.
Hi, I'm Naima Latif. Join me and my co-host, Kareem Hamid, every Wednesday morning, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. on the Female Solution Radio Show as we explore that relationship that is the foundation for our society, the relationship between men and women, husbands and wives. Join our discussion as we seek to repair broken family ties and rebuild our community. Listen online at www.blogtalkradio.com/the-female-solution. Call in and comment 515-605-9325. Press 1 to speak to our host. Or you can join us live on Facebook at www.facebook.com/the-female-solution.
And we're back. Thank you so much for joining us. We're going to listen to a testimony, a TED Talk, that I think represents a majority of the people on this planet. The complex relationships, the experiences that most of us have that affect our cravings, not only our cravings, but our lack of willingness to change even. George Benson is just one of my all-time favorite musicians that feeds my soul. That guitar, oh my goodness, I just love that guitar. And even that song, Everything Must Change, if you've never heard it, just go to YouTube and type in George Benson, Everything Must Change. And he starts out with his beauty. He can sing, he can play the guitar, and then he has these musicians behind him. Do 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 do. Everything must change. Nothing stays the same. Everyone will change. No one will stay the same. So, and as Maika said, when you don't
resonate with those words and even the music, you're going to have pain. So think about that as a reason for your pain, is that you're not willing to change some things in your life. So this is a testimony that I want you to just hear, and this is actually my last audio for you tonight. And then if you have comments and you want to share your own journey, we want to get to the root of the cravings and pull them out and at least deal with the nourishment that we all need.
So mine is more of a personal story, and for me it starts in childhood. If any of you watch Stranger Things right now, so I'm a child of the 70s and 80s, and I used to play a lot outside with the neighborhood kids. We'd play kick the can and ghost in the graveyard and hide and seek, and we'd just stay out there until our parents were screaming at us to come inside, usually pretty late at night. Well into the darkness. But for me, the darkness at night was safety, at least outside it was. It was friends, it was fun, it was a lot of screaming and yelling and throwing stuff around outside, kids being kids. But when I went inside to my house, the darkness was not a place of safety. At night in my room, usually in the middle of the night, the darkness would be interrupted by the silhouette of my dad smoking a cigarette, and I could just see the ember of the end of that cigarette in the doorway, and I would be petrified because I knew what was coming next. My dad was an alcoholic. He was a drug addict. He had mental illness, and he was abusive. When I was 9 years old, in the middle of the night, in that darkness, my father shot and killed himself in the bedroom next to mine. In the days that followed his death, there were endless streams of people that came through our house, bringing cards, flowers, teddy bears, endless honey-baked hams. We had a lot of ham. I actually don't like ham to this day. I really don't. But I watched this endless stream of people coming in, and I was sort of outside of myself. I was numb watching this. And I was trying so hard to feel the sadness that people felt. But I was 9, and, you know, kids have a hard time with emotion, and really the only thing I felt was a sense of relief, that fear was gone, and that I might be able to sleep and be in the house safely in the darkness for the first time in my life. The night before I was supposed to go back to school, which was probably a week after he died, I was petrified again because I was nervous about how the kids were going to treat me when I got back to school. Kids are strange, right? Things happen, trauma happens, weird things happen, and kids turn on you because they don't really know how to handle emotion. They don't know how to handle kids that have been damaged, and at that point I felt like a secret of mine had been let out of the bag and that these kids were going to treat me differently because they didn't know what else to do. So I was scared. But what I didn't expect is what actually happened the next day when I went back to school. It was as if the entire school had been prepared for my return, my brother's return. The kids were so warm and welcoming. They brought me right back into the fold with them. We played like nothing had changed. The teachers were there early to prep me and make sure I was doing okay, made sure I could get caught up with my homework, anything I needed. And they had given me actually this huge card that the whole class, the whole grade had signed, these words of sympathy and kindness and love, and I still have that card to this day. And that was the first moment where I realized this seemingly small act of kindness where these kids had brought me back into the fold and these adults had really prepped for, in my mind, this broken child to come back to school. And I think that was the first time an act of kindness changed my life and actually probably saved my life. If I fast forward a little bit, to adulthood. When I was 31 years old, I got pregnant, loved being pregnant. I actually had a fabulous pregnancy, every part of it. And I was so looking forward to meeting this daughter that was, I knew was coming. But the moment she was born, everything changed. And I was plunged into a very deep, dark, painful postpartum depression that had me planning my own suicide. And I was very lucky that I had a loving and caring and supportive husband, parents, and friends who immediately saw what was going on with me. And they were able to get me support and help right away. And at that point, I started a long journey of mental illness and medication of my own. And I spent the next 10 years on many, many different medications for anxiety, depression, paranoia, sleep, you name it. I was on it, or I'd tried it. And at one point there, for a pretty long stretch of period of time, I had 7 different medications that I was on, 2 of them just to counteract the effects of the others that I was taking. But I wasn't ashamed of it, and I wouldn't say I was ashamed of being mentally ill. I wasn't ashamed of taking medication. The medication saved my life, but more importantly, those that supported me and never, ever judged me in those moments of postpartum depression, that was the second act of kindness that literally saved my life. About 6 years ago, I took a job as the vice president of the Random Acts of Kindness Foundation. There actually is a job that pays me to make the world a better place. It's a pretty sweet job. But it's actually also been one of the most difficult and painful journeys in my life because kindness for me means so much. It is these moments that seemingly little small acts of kindness that to the person who's witnessing them or the person who's giving them and sometimes to the person that's receiving them, they don't seem like a big deal, but in fact, they can change your life and possibly save your life. And I wanted to be able to share that with the rest of the world. I wanted people to know the impact kindness can have on you. And so I've been there 6 years. I've traveled the world. I have worked with amazing people, some of whom are here. And I've spent actually a good amount of time talking to the Dalai Lama about kindness and the impact that it has. So I understand it from a personal level. I understand it from a global level. And I wanted to make sure other people understood it as well. I had a conversation with one of my colleagues about 2 years ago who knew how much I was struggling with the mental illness and all the medications and this idea that I would probably never get off of them. My norm was that the rest of my life I would be on medication just like somebody who has to take medication for diabetes for the rest of their life. It was just the way it was going to be for me. But I wanted to get past this sort of neutral place that on my best day I felt neutral. I wanted to feel like one of those happy people that could enjoy every day or look forward to something every day. I just wanted to get up and not have a really bad day. That was my goal. And she asked me how I was doing with the medication, and I had to think about it for a minute because I hadn't thought about it. It's not something I think about all the time. And I said, it's interesting. I've been off of 6 of the 7 medications now for over a year, and I didn't even realize it. And she said, why do you think that is? And I said, well, I think the stuff we're talking about really works. And I don't think I realized that I can go out and talk about the impact of kindness and the science of kindness, but it never really felt like it was part of my healing process. And so I had a revelation that it in fact was. So I want to talk a little bit about that in a minute, but I'm going to ask you to indulge me for a second, and this might be a little uncomfortable for you, but I'm going to ask you to do it anyway. I'm going to ask you, when I say go, to stand up and turn to the person next to you and hug them for 10 seconds, and I'm going to count you down. And then I'll explain why afterwards. Okay? You ready? Go. Okay. 10 seconds. This is a great viewpoint up here because I can see both people who loved that and people who were super uncomfortable with that. But what I can also see is a lot of people, if not everybody in this room, is smiling, and some of that may be because of discomfort. But really, that was probably because it felt good. And there is a biological reason for that. And this is where I started to get into this idea of why is kindness so important and why is it so impactful. And so right there, what we just did was an act of kindness for each other, for yourselves, and for me to witness. So there is this triangulation of kindness. The person who's receiving it, the person who's giving it, and the person who witnesses all have the exact same reaction in their body and in their brain, and the same levels of dopamine, serotonin, endorphins, all these things we've been hearing about. You all have the same reaction. It's interesting with kindness. There are people who are perpetually kind. I'm actually not one of them, even though you might think I would be. I'm not perpetually kind. But those that are perpetually kind have 23% less cortisol in their body, which is your stress hormone. So without going into all the statistics about this, when you have higher levels of endorphins, dopamine, serotonin, oxytocin, lower levels of cortisol, you actually have lower blood pressure. You feel more connected to the people around you. You have lower stress, you sleep better, you live longer, you look younger. I'm kind of hoping Big Pharma is not watching this right now, because it's sort of the fountain of youth that we're talking about right now. And it's pretty easy, because really only a couple minutes a day, you can get this. If you are doing this on a regular basis, you can get the effects of this all the time. That hug is one little bit. Imagine if you felt like that all the time from just buying coffee for somebody or letting them merge into traffic. That's a big one. That was a hard one, I know. So what you're doing when you're actually continuing to do acts of kindness is you're sort of filling your own emotional bank account. And when you are able to do that and put these things into this emotional bank account, or when somebody's doing something kind for you, you've got this overflowing emotional bank account so that when trauma comes or crisis or just really bad days, you can pull out of that emotional bank account and you're not overdrawn, if that makes sense. And we've all been there where we're really feeling overdrawn. So keep doing that. So based on my background, statistics would tell you that I should not be here tonight. I should probably be addicted to alcohol or drugs. I should probably be unemployed. I should be obese. I should be emotionally unhealthy. I definitely should not be successful. I should not be standing up here talking to a crowd of people about kindness. But I am here. Thank you. And what my challenge to all of you tonight is, to do something really simple, and that's tune in to the beauty around you. Recognize acts of kindness that you see, that you hear, that you feel, that you experience. Participate in them. That's pretty easy. It can be letting that guy merge in front of traffic. It can be buying a cup of coffee for somebody. It can be writing a letter of gratitude to somebody who's made a difference in your life and sending it to them. Better yet, you could deliver it in person and read it to them. You could hug somebody for 10 seconds. And you can do more of that, and it's really easy, and it doesn't have to cost you a thing. So I would ask you to go a little bit outside of your comfort zone and start doing this. And you'll begin to heal not only yourself, but those around you. And when we start to do that, we can really change the world. And it starts now. Thank you.
So that talk could be broken down, torn apart, separated, analyzed in so many ways. And Naima, let me know when you're ready with your hand up when you're ready for our last commercial. Number one, because most of the people in my generation had an alcoholic parent. And it so affected our childhood that I think that's why many of us struggle with cravings. And one of the things that it has done for me in at my age, in my 60s, is I have no craving for alcohol anymore. I used to drink lots of wine, especially when I was working an 8-hour job for a 40-hour week. Wine was my favorite beverage, whether it was going out with clients or coming home, I'd have wine. I have zero craving today for alcohol. And I realized it the other night when my son and his girlfriend invited me to have dinner with them, and they both were drinking wine, and they offered me some wine, and I was like, no, no thanks. And normally I would have went ahead and had a glass of wine because it's social. They were drinking. I'm drinking. I don't have a craving for it anymore. And I think it's just because I am so, so aware of the damage that was done to our ancestors, our mothers, our fathers, because of alcohol. And I'm just so sensitive to that now. It took a while, though. It didn't just happen overnight, because I used to drink in college. Oh, my goodness, I was an alcoholic. Rum and Coke and anything anybody offered, marijuana. But at this stage of my need for soul nourishment, my craving for alcohol is gone, and I'm just so grateful. And that's been a tough journey. And some of you can relate to that, but I just don't have a desire. It's like you would drink alcohol because you wanted to change the way you felt. You wanted to get into a social mood so you could talk to other people and enjoy the, I just don't, it's not there anymore. So I attribute that to grace, the great same grace that the last speaker talks about. She should be dead. So many things have happened in my life that I should be dead, making stupid decisions, choices. And yet I'm here. So in my gratitude, I'm taking the steps that George Benson inspires me to know that everything must change. Nothing stays the same. And I'm just grateful that some of the cravings I've had are gone. I'm not totally over sugar, but I haven't had any white sugar for probably a month or more. And what the sweetness I do have is maple syrup. So I'm doing good with maple syrup and honey. So anyway, we're going to take our last break. And we're going to look at one of the comments that was on Facebook that I believe it's from Naima, our executive producer. We'll look at one of her comments when we come back and get into, if you have any comments, press 1. Or I'm going back and forth reading Facebook comments. And we'll go into this last half hour in victory that we are now talking about these things, and we now have more opportunity each day, each new day, to show that act of kindness that she talked about. And everybody's not going to want to be hugged, that's for sure. That's the difference. No, not everybody wants a hug these days, but we can at least be in our minds sending virtual hugs. How about that? So, Naima, your mic is open. Thank you for bringing us commercial messages.
Tune in to Soulful Solutions with Dr. Debbie Green on Thursdays at 7 a.m. Central Standard Time and 8 a.m. Eastern Standard Time to hear great topics and stories on grief and turn you into victory. Join Dr. Debbie Green to listen to stories of triumph and learn how to overcome. You are not alone in your life, and there is hope in the darkest hour. This is your time to learn strategies and solutions to improve your life. It's your time. So join Dr. Debbie Green with Soulful Solutions and call in on Thursday at 7 a.m. Central Standard Time and 8 a.m. Eastern Standard Time at 515-605-9325 with comments and questions. Look to hear from you real soon.
Taxes are higher than ever. Every day, thousands of our residents leave Chicago to shop in Indiana.
Jobs are being lost, and businesses are relocating. Let's find a way to lower our taxes to encourage residents to continue living and shopping in our city. Let's rebuild. Let's restore Chicago. Vote for me for mayor of the city of Chicago, and I will work hard to find solutions that matter. I'm Dr. Willie Wilson, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Willie Wilson for mayor.
Everything you need, what your body needs, is found in nature. So Susan Essentials doesn't do it any other way. Susan Essentials provides your employees and individuals access to over 20,000 nutritional products, and they are shipped direct to your door. Because Susan Essentials is certified in plant-based healing, we're permitted to offer you the best nutritional supplements on the planet. They're non-GMO and sustainably produced, and we take the guesswork out for you. Let Susan Essentials help you take control of your health today.
And we're back. Thank you so much for joining me this evening. We are a collective consciousness community here on Soul Purpose Healing. And I hope that the messages from our global family on the way of YouTube are helping you make better choices going forward and helping you nourish your soul. As the last audio pointed out, alcohol has been in our history. And it's the grace of the universe creator, Yahweh, that has kept put us in the places that we're in today to make a difference. And so I want to read a comment by Naima Latif, our executive producer. She comments on Facebook that I feel kind of sad that so many Black children go through the trauma of domestic gun violence. But instead of sensitivity, people criminalize their family, and the children get no compassion from adults. We're all feeling a lot of sadness lately, I think. Sad would be a perfect description of the emotions that are coming up, in my opinion, very frequently lately, with all that's going on in our neighborhoods, in the news, all around us, sadness, people dying, violence, all of these things can definitely create sadness in us. I totally agree, Naima. So that what do we do about it individually? Because we don't want to stay in the sad place, because these things are happening. Why? As a consequence, I believe, of unconsciousness not being at the forefront of our brain, or being at the forefront of our brain, in my opinion, have failed to deliver, to heal the subconscious programming that has been going on all our lifetime. Last Sunday, I pointed out this Pledge of Allegiance to the flag has ruled and run our psyche, our brain, for years. I can still recite, I pledge of allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. That has really influenced us, I think, more than we know, because we have thought in our minds that with all the violence around us, that the most, and for many of us, the most important thing was to just be faithful to this government. That hasn't helped the violence in the neighborhood. They haven't helped us be more compassionate. In fact, this government has promoted war. We are a warmongering government. We live in a country that promotes war above compassion toward the families that are going through the domestic violence. This government has programmed many of us to think that we are living in this corporate republic environment, which I read the definition public last year, is that the definition said that the people have supreme power in the country, in the land. The people and the elected officials have supreme power. I don't know about you, but we haven't felt much supreme power, especially over the last 3 years, to say, no, thank you. We are not going to do this, this, or this, what you want us to do. And we have been forced. Many people have been forced to do things with their body that they really didn't want to do and that they had no idea of the consequences. And today we're seeing the consequences of death that we were forced to participate in. So Naima brings up a good point that we are at a place today to recognize the criminals in our government first that have created this mind where people criminalize families and children, and we're not compassionate like the act of kindness she demonstrated. Instead, we're judging and criminalizing families instead of realizing there's a real need to reprogram our belief system and get back to what we would consider would be a republic where we do have power, that the people of this country have the superpower that we need to overcome everything. We can overcome everything, but we got to reprogram our belief system in how we were trained in this country, especially to trust this warmongering, psychopathic government. Man, we got to reject. This is the year, in my opinion, to reject the psychopathic principles and go into go along with Maika's suggestion to develop the principles that will nourish our soul and get rid of the cravings that were started in the womb of our mothers, who some of them were alcoholics. And the fathers who were abusing the mothers, we're at a place of really demanding from our government supreme power of the people and not of the psychopathic, warmongering, wealthy millionaires. We got a bunch of millionaires in our government promoting more war, $1 trillion budget, Twilight Zone episode, whatever, 20, whatever. I don't know what episode we're on, but it's still kind of a Twilight Zone. But I love the song, Row, Row, Row Your Boat, Gently Down the Stream, Merrily, Merrily, Life is But a Dream. It's been a dream. Let's just think of the last 3 years were a bad dream or a nightmare. And now we're woke. We're waking up. We're waking up to the need for our soul to be nourished. And that really does mean deliverance and healing from all the cravings that started in our mother's womb. That's where it all started. The incomplete, insufficient lack of nourishment that our mothers were unable to give us fully. But now we know what we need. And so we can work together. Let's hug one another and work together. I think, let's see, Mama AZ, I see your hand up. Did you have another comment? Mama AZ, your mic is open.
Thank us. Dr. V, can you hear me okay?
Yes. Yes, go ahead.
I feel you, Dr. Lateef. I am too pondering, and I'm sad about the state of affairs as far as the babies are concerned. Like the little child, I think he was 4 years old. And he was brandishing a gun, and Miss Susie P. brought it to my attention. She said, "Mama, you see, when these newcomers come here, when these babies come here, they are like rebirth, and they already know how to handle a gun and how to be one with a weapon." And see, these are the things that we must pay attention to. Grown people, get out in nature, teach the youth how to grow from scratch
in nature, away from all of the technology, if it is all possible. Because if we do not start recognizing the soil, like Sagaru said, and are taking care of are being one-on-one with Mother Earth, it is not going to rectify or balance itself. And parents must learn to take control back of their children. But you first have to be in order to be able to take the control back. And I like for Dr. Maika to chime in on that. What's her opinion about the youth and the state of affairs and nature and how powerful nature is bringing us back to balance? I'd like to hear Dr. Maika's reasoning about that. And thank us, Dr. V.
Thank you.
Okay,
for the question.
Her
mic is open. Thank you. Go ahead.
Okay, thank you, Rihanna. You know, nature is our foundation, and so many of us are devoid of any connection to nature. I'm actually living in a country, rural, endangered town, and it's an endangered species, and we're kind of come together to preserve it. But I'm going to be create me a bug-out zone out here in the country on a sister out here's land. You know what a bug-out zone is?
No, what is that?
It's a year-round survival setting where you create a year-round survival setting with tents and what have you, whatever you need to survive for a year in nature through all the seasons. So, which gives me an opportunity. That means I have something set up. Anytime I go there, it's available for me. Especially, I don't live in the city, but it's really good for people who live in the city to have a place where their survival needs are taken care of. And they invest in that. And we all need a piece of nature that we can stand on. You know, it might be an eighth of an acre. But we need to be rooted in nature, and we need to bring our children out so that they can run and play in nature where there are no guns and things like that. The children have to be safe. It's like, how do you create a safety zone for children? We haven't mastered that yet, technologically or psychologically. And we need to do that because the children are under such great threat nowadays. Everybody trying to legalize pedophilia, you know, they're trying to do all kind of stuff that is anti-children. So
yeah.
Mm-hmm. So we have to come together to deal with this problem for real.
Absolutely. Collective, that's why unity, I promote that unity song in the beginning. It's so important. That's the power we have when we unify and have the same mind and work in harmony. And that's why I take my role so serious as a grandmother, because these parents need help, honey. They're so focused on making money and developing their career. In fact, we got an interesting comment here from Eva Marie. She says, when I was 16, I told my older sister, Sabrina, there's no such thing as a career or success. To what career or success is a box of distractions while the government deceived the entire world. Everything that has taken place in the world was planned from the beginning, she says. And that's totally agree. We have to realize the plan that we've been under, the plandemic, and all the other plans to keep us weak and ineffective. And Ava Marie says, nature is who we are. So we, as women and men, conscious men, need to come together and develop not only the children as grandmothers. We got to take our roles as grandmothers. And that's why we have to get rid of these cravings for these foods and drugs and develop soul nourishment so that the children, we can really help the children. When we nourish our bodies and soul, then we're going to have a powerful effect on the children, the grandchildren, all the children, because wherever we go, we really can influence children, whether it's in a grocery store, hanging out at the park. We can bring our light energy to that environment to help these children to not make, to, and the parents to not experience the same mistakes that we had. So let me go to another caller, 760. Your mic is open.
Okay. Can you hear me? This is Kofi James.
Hey, Kofi. How you doing?
Oh, bless. I just tried to call in. I thank you for including men and women who are on this ascension. We know better. My mama taught me right and wrong. And I just want to commend you and thank you for what you're doing on Soul Purpose. I know I kind of nudge you to keep it going, and you're right. It's really not the government. It's really us as the citizens.
Yeah. Right.
Right.
Yeah, absolutely.
Our votes, our tax dollars. We have the power to keep the narrative going, and I've been doing that as a taxpayer, you know, for change. You know, the Florida governor, he canceled the African American history class. It's on YouTube. It's on Google. Because
yeah, I saw that. I didn't read it, the details of it. But hey, we don't need our schools teaching African American history. We need our parents teaching that. We need communities teaching that. I haven't read what the details of that is. It's all about for the communities to take over these types of responsibilities and jobs. These schools can't teach African Americans. They got an agenda behind that. So I'm sure what he's doing, in my opinion, I live here in Florida. I'm sure what he's doing has a conscious decision behind it. And I would agree, just not even knowing the details, that no, the parents need, the black African American parents need to teach history, not the schools.
Well, not African-American, Indigenous American people need to teach. They know who we are.
Exactly.
We're finding out who we are.
Right.
I commend him for doing that, because you don't have European history. You don't have Chinese history in class. Why do you have African history class in your schools? That's indoctrination. So, yes, our families, our communities. Now, this is a nudge for our communities and us. This is the village. I learned from the village about who I am.
Right.
You are the village. I am the village.
Absolutely.
And we're just sharing our little 2 cents and saying, hey, you know, love thyself. Know who we are.
And hey, Kofi, this is the revolution that's not going to be televised. We got to make the decisions in our own homes and families to make changes in how we educate our children, and we can't leave it up to the public school system. That's BS. We know what they're trying to do, bringing in transgender this and all these crazy books that aren't teaching them anything. No, let's just, every family, I don't care what color they are, what culture, race, you need to be teaching your children the truth, because you're not going to get it in the public school system. Let me go to another caller before we leave.
The truth. The truth that I found from being Cherokee, it made me connect with Europeans to forgive them of what their forefather has done. And let's reset. Let's start a dialogue with each other. Right. There it is. Thank you. All right.
Communication and hugging and all that. 91. Thank you, Kofi, for that contribution. 917-538, your mic is open.
Yeah, hi, it's Carmen. I mean, the only thing that what comes up for me around the soul thing that you discussed earlier is that, you know, when we lose people, it goes back into the soul. So the person will never come back again. It will never, ever be the same. That's the only sad thing in human existence. Maybe if we pass on, it doesn't matter so much, but it just feels like a huge loss. And that's my share today. Thank you.
Oh, so you're saying that we shouldn't be sad, or you, is that what you're hinting at? Are you there? Okay. I think she was bringing some compassion and understanding to the soul journey, and that when that person passes on, that their soul leaves. And yes, that's one of the areas that we all should be studying more about. How, what happens when a person's physical body is no longer functioning on this earth plane? That, I think everyone should study that, listen to near-death experiences, so that we come to unity and understanding, overstanding about what it is that's happening when a person transitions. Because we can get into disagreements about that, especially if people don't believe in reincarnation and they've never heard a near-death experience. Arguments galore can happen. So let us all make an effort to do our own study and get out away from the mainstream media and the television that's lying to us all these years, and begin to look into studying ourselves. Let me just mention that tomorrow on Monday Morning Mindfulness, Zelda will be talking about why you need to learn Chinese on Monday Morning Mindfulness, 7 to 9 a.m. Central. And I think we should all, Americans should all be looking at learning more than one language, because the world, the global presence around us, people are trilingual, bilingual. And especially if you're going to compete in the markets today, you really should have some knowledge of other languages. Now, there are lots of apps out there, though, that will translate for you. So if you're going, and if you don't have time to take a language, just get the app. If you're going to Mexico or wherever, you don't speak Spanish, take the app with you. And then in the meantime, tune in to Monday Morning Mindfulness and Breathe with Zelda in the morning, and get that information about Chinese. Now, we got one more comment from Eva Marie. She says, no disrespect, there's a scripture in the Bible that says, would a man rob God? And the meaning to that is not paying tithes and offerings, which is a lie. Robbing Mother Earth is putting a price on her. Example, electric, gas, water, etc. How can they put a price on something they didn't create? Okay, and then Mother, she says, Mother Earth has a great plan for the children of the world. Absolutely. It's all about, she says, it's all about the children of the world. Nature is who we are. That's beautifully said. Thank you, Eva Marie. Love your thought-filled words tonight. We're all growing and learning more. So we're down to 1 minute. I'm sorry. 90 seconds. So I'm going to have to play our closing ending, and I hope all this information and thoughts and sharing has been helpful to you all to nourish your soul and deal with, admit, talk to other people about your cravings. I think that's what's been most helpful for me. I've actually shared the cravings I've had with a close friend, and we talk about it, why do we have cravings. And that's how we get over things, is we have someone who listens and that we can bounce off of and share our feelings and thoughts. And then we, like the craving for alcohol for me, gone. Prayer, meditation, all of that helps to let go of the things that are interfering with your soul nourishment. So everybody, see you tomorrow morning with Zelda, Monday Morning Mindfulness. And we'll see you Friday morning. I'll be back with health and well-being. So have a great evening. I want to say goodbye. Thank you.
We've come to the end of our show today, but you can hear every show in the archives at www.blogtalkradio.com. www.thefemale-solution. You can also hear today's show on the Female Solution Facebook page. Go to www.facebook.com/thefemalesolution. Leave your comments about today's show. You can always reach me on my website at www.naimalatif.com. That's www.naimalatif.com. Watch our TV shows, listen to our radio shows, order our books, and be sure to get your copy of the book, The Female Solution. On behalf of our team of radio hosts, I'd like to thank all of you who participated in today's discussion. And to our global family listening from all around the world, we say thank you. To our family in China, Xiexie. India, Zanyaba. Japan, Arigato. Korea, Kamsahamnida. Russia, Spasiba. Germany, Danke. Poland, Dziękuję. France, Merci. Spain, gracias. Italy, grazie. Egypt, shukran. Ghana, medasi. Nigeria, eshe. South Africa, ngiyabonga. Senegal, jerez. Kenya, asante. Israel, toda. Pakistan, shukriya. Afghanistan, Tashakur. Saudi Arabia, shukran. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Thank you. And may peace be upon you and the mercy of God and God's blessings.
Love you.